Hey guys, Alex here with the AJ Nashville Podcast. Hey, I just want to take a moment and thank our sponsors. House on the Rock Home Inspection with Dave Ganatra. You can feel free to reach his team at 615-717-7900. Let me tell you, when it comes to protecting your greatest asset that you ever purchased, Dave's got you covered. Builders fear this man. Feel free to reach out to his team. Once again, 615-717-7900. Next on our great list of sponsors is the Wrap Lab. Any type of printed marketing that you're looking for, maybe it's a wrap on your vehicle, maybe it's a new logo design for your new company, reach out to Rich at the Wrap Lab. Let him know I sent you, 615-913-0372. Hey guys, Alex here, AJNashville.com, here with Mr. Jeffrey Perry. Say hi, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. Anyways, we all know what to expect when it comes to that now. But today's episode, so I want to talk about building an online presence. Online presence. It'd be nice to be able to speak. What do you think?
Yeah, I struggle with it every day.
We should start getting drunk and doing podcasts. Can you imagine how disastrous that could be?
It'd be freaking awesome.
I did that once, actually. It was in Houston, and my good friends were like, yeah, you're not publishing any of those. So anyways, building an online presence. So that's something I talked about earlier this week in a private group that is designed for loan officers. And it was something that I thought, you know what? This would be good information to get out to other people. Now, I'm not Gary Vaynerchuk. I'm not Jocko Willink, one of these guys that has billions of followers and everything, because I haven't done anything as substantial in my life as they have. You know, they've done things to build a brand and to build a huge presence based on their successes over the years. But what I do want to talk about is on a local level. You know, that is something I excel at, and you can see from my videos and my podcasts and everything else, I get a lot of organic reach, and I get a lot of people that follow me. You know, there was a challenge. It's funny. It was a couple of years back. A buddy of mine said, hey, you could take a picture of an empty roll of toilet paper and get fucking 200 likes. And I'm like, nah, no way. And I did. You know, so it's kind of funny. And the Facebook algorithm always changes. And I know you don't know much about Facebook because you're not on it. But they change the way they prioritize people on their timelines and news feeds and the information that they provide for the end user.
And I heard about this because you've been explaining it and teaching people about it a little bit too, and how it's requesting – or not requesting, but it's working more on true engagement versus just kind of air.
Right. And that's the big thing is, you know, there's so many people that think, oh, well, if I copy this post and do this, this post is working for somebody else, it'll work for me. And that's not necessarily true. You know, you have a lot of companies that say, oh, I got in-house social media people, and they fucking suck. You know, a lot of in-house social media people are people that are just kind of good at social media, but they're not great. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can see that when you look at people's engagement and stuff, when they say, hey, I've got an in-house person, and you look and you're like, okay, you've got an in-house person, but you have 2 likes and 1 comment on a post that should have 200 comments and 50 likes.
And the in-house person's probably getting paid.
Get paid. Yeah. So the big thing with content for me is everything has to be genuine. It has to be real thoughts, real actions. Like if you see my post, any of my posts that have been shared multiple times, it's things that I actually feel or think.
And with you specifically,
this is going to be good.
If you say something once, you can't repeat it the same way the second time.
That is true.
So whatever content you have is truly unrehearsed,
right?
Unteleprompted. I mean, we're talking
raw.
Raw.
Fucking Eddie Murphy style, just raw.
Raw.
Raw. Anyways, I mean, the viewers don't know this, but most of these podcasts are done in one take.
They are.
No editing. The only editing I do is adding the intro and the outro, and that's it. There's been very few times where I've cut out a clip or something like that or spliced together audio, and 99% of that time that's ever happened, it's not been because of me. It's been because of a delay or something within the audio that I had to remove. Mm-hmm. Same with videos. Shit, dude, we've shot hundreds of videos now.
Yeah.
And
I would say more towards the thousands at this
right.
point.
Yeah, exactly. And most of those have been one take. And if it's been multiple takes, it's been start all over, let's do it again. Mm-hmm. It's not been, well, let's splice this together. But it's because the content's very genuine. And that's the one thing with the online presence is when you start producing stuff that you genuinely care about and genuinely feel for, then it's much easier to come up with things. Like right. this podcast, for example. Dude, I've done 80-something episodes. Like, how do you fill the airwaves with that much stuff and still remain genuine?
I guess it's like songwriters, where they sit there and they try and, they, you know, they've got to come up with something good, the next big hook or the next big song. And yeah. they sit there and they ponder and ponder and ponder. And that's it usually not the way it works, though. Usually hit songs.
Yeah.
Hit it's songs.
Something they think about in their sleep or.
Well, hit songs typically are very, very quick. Like Taylor Swift even is one of those people that talks about it, how quickly it comes together. And then it's just a multi-platinum selling album.
Right. Exactly. I don't know shit about Taylor Swift because I'm straight. But, you know, it's one of those things that.
I am too.
So he says. I bet you there's a Taylor Swift song about it.
No.
Identifying? No. Okay. Anyways, and there's nothing wrong with it either way. But just to be clear, you know, the stuff has to come naturally. The best content comes naturally. You can't take a country music star and say, hey, write a rap song and make it a number one hit because it's unnatural. They're both writers. They're both good at it, but it's not the natural thing that bleeds from them. You know, and so when you're posting things, like you can't necessarily – having a ghostwriter is good for like business posts and stuff like that, but genuine content is very unique to your circumstance. You know, it's unique to a lesson that you learned. It's like when your kids do something and you capture that moment and then you post about it, that's true emotion that's attached to that. You know, and those are the things that go sphere viral. Mm-hmm. When you show that you care more about a situation. I'll give you a prime example. I work really closely with veterans and helping veterans and doing things like that. And you can see some of these people that are just after it for the money, and it bleeds through. It's easy to spot that. It's easy to see that. It's easy to see that they're just saying things to try to get business as opposed to trying to genuinely help. Same thing with people that post that don't really believe in what it is, you know. It's funny, when I was like 18 years old, I got invited to this sales training thing, and it was like a select few, which I found out once I got there that select few meant the people that would actually show up, because I found out it was a Kirby vacuum thing.
I was just going to – I was thinking that in the back of my head.
You knew exactly what it was.
No, and I didn't even – you know, obviously I didn't even know anything about that story. This is a new story to me. But at the same point in time, I was thinking, gosh, that sounds like a – yeah.
It's a Kirby thing.
Yeah.
So – and I showed up and, you know, they're asking questions. And the one thing the guy asked me – now, this guy is, you know, three times my elder. I mean, I'm probably 18 at this point. He's probably pushing 60s. And he's like, what is the best way to sell something? And my response was truly believing in what it was that you sold. And he looked at me and he's like, you want a job right now? Like, because that's the truth. You truly believe in it. When you truly believe in something, it is very hard to deviate from your natural message.
Typically, you don't even have to sell at that point. It's like this documentary I was watching about that surfer last night. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't have to try everything. He didn't want to compete, but everybody wanted him to compete because he was so good.
Right.
He didn't even have to compete because he was just doing what he loved and it came natural to him. It wasn't even a competition at that point.
Correct. And that's huge. Things that come natural. You know, the videos, I challenge agents and stuff like that all the time because I say agents because that's the bulk of who's in my classes.
Right.
And it's like, hey, do a video and just do it on something you already know. It's very easy. If I am passionate about motorcycles.
Yeah, it's easy when it comes to an interest of yours, like a hobby or like
it's
something
easy to talk
enjoy.
About.
Right.
And the thing is, your sphere or my sphere is typically composed of people that know about that stuff. You know, so building an online presence, you want to make sure that you're appealing to your audience for one and that you're delivering a message basically to be top of mind. You don't want to be like, hey, my name's Alex. Think about how many people would listen to this podcast if I was like, hey, I'm Alex, you know, ajnashville.com/branch manager, state manager, Hancock Mortgage Partners, come buy this mortgage from me because that's what mortgages are about. How many people would actually tune in? Like nobody, because nobody gives a shit about mortgages. But if you deliver a consistent message and you're positive, that's the other thing. Your message should be positive. Those of you that want to engage in politics and religious, stay out of that. You've heard me say that since day one.
It's just not for social media.
No, you've heard me say that from day one. Stay out of politics. Stay out of the religious portion of things. And just focus on the things that drive you, the real things. You know, products. If you're selling something, people know. You know, people have a good idea. Hey, you get a mortgage. Okay, cool. FHA or VA. I mean, you know all those things.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to pitch it every time.
Right. It's not just your views. You're just you're there to, like you said, appeal to the things that come natural to you.
One of the biggest things that I heard is tell people your why. Why? Why is it that you want to do something? Why is it that you want to work with veterans? Why is it that you want to sell cars? Why is it that you want to sell, you know,
it's the same
mattresses?
Question you ask when you're actually – when somebody's wanting something from you too. Why?
Yeah.
It's not just that question when you're, you know, approached in that aspect, but it's also the question that you ask people. You want to know their why.
Yeah, exactly. You want to understand their motivation behind doing something, because typically a crooked person, their motivations are off skew and they don't know their why. Mm-hmm. If somebody came up to me and
said, up with a canned answer.
Right. If somebody came up to me and said, why veterans? I can answer that, and I can answer that, and I can be genuine when I answer that, and people can read that. And people buy things because of a why that makes sense to them, you know? We buy certain things. Like, you don't go to the toilet paper, or you don't go to the store and buy toilet paper, and Charmin's not like, we really like to wipe your ass. That's why, you know. It's nothing like that. But when you're talking about bigger ticket items that have more emotion attached to them, you have to have a clear why. And it's got to be a why that you understand. It's not, I want to do this to make money. It's, I want to do this because my whole life I grew up poor. And the thought of me ever being poor again is disturbing. And this is something that I'm really good at. So me doing this helps me support my family. Like, that's a legitimate why. Mm-hmm. My thing with veterans, why do I want to help veterans? Because we owe it to the men and women that have served this country to give back in the one way that we can. And in my case, that's through mortgages. One of the most powerful things that we can do is give them back the very thing they defended. You know, and that's a very natural why. That's not a canned answer. It's it is what it is.
You know, and people don't – they think mortgages, or they think house, or buy a house or anything like that. But here's the reality of it. We need a place to live.
Right.
And that's a big deal. I mean, when you sit there and truly think about a place to live, a roof over your head, a place to come home to.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. Everybody has to have a place to live. You know, and unfortunately there's homeless people out there that don't. But they have a place – whether it's a, you know, a
mission,
tent, whatever. Yeah,
like
they have
that,
a place to lay their head. And people, you know, not everybody deserves to be a homeowner, but people don't deserve to be homeless either.
Right.
You know, and especially our military veterans, our first responders, you know, police officers, firefighters, none of those people deserve – they put their life on the line on a daily basis to make sure that we're safe, to make sure that when my kids look out the front window, there's not a fucking tank coming down the road and they're shuddering in fear.
Because the reality in other countries, that does happen.
It's very real. Exactly.
I mean, you can hear rockets going off at night.
I can't, but –
you know what I'm talking about. In other,
if you're in my neighborhood around the 4th of July, you can hear rockets go off at night.
You
just
know,
not the one.
Yeah.
Right. Bottle rockets.
But, you know, and this is – it's reality, and it's true. You know, the people that serve our country so that we can have the freedoms and rights and whatnot that we do, it's big to be able to put them into a home. It really is.
Yeah, it's what they fought to defend. You know, when people are overseas and they're deployed and their family's back here, like, they want to make sure they're comfortable. And so I need to make sure that I do the right things to put them into a place that is comfortable for them. I've had people that have been deployed and their wife is a POA, the power of attorney, for those of you that aren't familiar with the term POA, and we put them in a home. Well, this person's overseas, you know, doing whatever they have to do to maintain the safety and security of our country. And that's a very gratifying feeling when you know that when that veteran comes home, they're going to have a home to go to, or that active duty military. Now, going back to the online presence, you know, delivering that consistent – the biggest thing is consistency. You know, and
we talk about this all the time. All the time.
And it's because you have to, in order to have measurable results, you have to have consistent results. So you have to do the same thing over and over and over and over again for God knows how many times until you can look and say, is this working or is it not? Because you may do something once or twice and it doesn't work, but you don't see the effects for it 3 months down the road, 2 months down, whatever the timeline may be. In our case, it's usually about a 45-day cycle. Mm-hmm. You have to do things for at least a month and a half, 2 months, if not 3 months, to see if you're going to return the result. And when I say that 45-day cycle, I mean that if you do something for 45 days, you'll start to see the result of it after that period. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you do it for 45 days and stop, guess what? It's going to stop. It's kind of like going to the gym. If you go to the gym every day for a month, you're not going to get your ideal weight. You're not going to be swole or ripped or look like, you know, fucking Mark Wahlberg. Or there was actually a guy at the manager's meeting this weekend. That's his nickname. From here on out, it's Wahlberg. Dude looks just like him. And he didn't gain his strength and his size and everything from going to the gym consistently for a month. He's done it for years, and it's produced the results over time that he's desired. And that's the same thing all of us do, dieting. You know, big fad for everyone is this keto diet.
I don't understand that, but yeah.
I think it's just eat. You're switching what your body fuels off of. I don't want to get too deep down that rabbit hole because I don't know a lot about it. But, you know, you have to do the same results over or same things over and over again for a window of time. Now, the thing is, most people, and this is what I've heard from other people that have done it and gotten off of it, is once that window of time expires, everything you did, the shortcut to lose the weight and everything, comes back. So if you lose 20 pounds, you may gain 10 of it back. I don't know the truth of that. That's just from people I've talked to. I'm not here to debate that. What I'm here to debate is the consistency of a message, the consistency of a video, the consistency of a podcast, the doing the things over and over again to produce the measurable results.
Yeah, well, you got to have the activities. It's, you know, you have X amount of activities and you've got to continue to do them. If you don't continue to do them, how are you going to measure if they're working or not?
Well, you have to have an end goal. You have to know what it's going to where you're going to end up. So, you know, when I do the podcast, for example, when I do them over and over and over again, I know that, hey, my goal is to hit 5,000 listeners per episode by November. Guess what? We're going to go way past that goal. Why? Because we've been consistent, because we engage, because we do things. Shit, I don't like to do like tag words or whatever, you know, hashtags. I'm not good at that stuff, dude. I don't like coming up with hashtags. I hate sitting there being like, hashtag motivation, hashtag success, hashtag podcast, hashtag. I hate that shit. I want to put the content in and even coming up with the words to describe the podcast. I'm like, what should I call it? You know, that's difficult. But I do it consistently because I know it yields a result. You know, doing the videos, doing the online presence thing. The biggest thing is, and here's what I discovered when I – remember when I got kicked off Facebook for like a week? So I got kicked off Facebook. This is my only time, knock on wood, that I've been in Facebook jail. Not real jail, but Facebook jail. And it was for 7 days. And it was because I was posting my podcast in all these different groups. And some hater somewhere said, I don't want this in my group. And so they reported me, which is fine. You have to respect the guidelines of other groups. And that I didn't do when I was doing that. And that's what I recommend to those of you listening. Get the admin's permission of that group to go ahead and post the information that you want to post in there. You can even do something like offering a giveaway. Hey, if you let me post in here once a week, every week for the next 3 months, I'll do a $75 gift card at the end of this session. This way we're providing family or we're providing some type of value to you and your listeners. You know, they enjoy that thing. But I got kicked off and I realized and I stopped. I'm like, fuck, I can't post in Facebook groups. My business and my consistency of my message is going to die if I was reliant on posting things in a group in order to be successful. Could you imagine if 100% of my business was coming out of Facebook groups? For that week, I have a void where nothing happens. And guess what? Just like an old TV show, you kind of fade away and the new show comes out and replaces you. So during that time, I had to figure out what am I going to do in order to make sure that if that happens again, I'm not going out of business. And so that's using other platforms like Twitter, Instagram, and as much as I hate to say it, LinkedIn. And I only hate to say it because I know you worship it. You're like...
I don't. I'm just an old man.
You should go back to MySpace, you know, the MySpace.
Is it still around? They still have it?
I don't know. That's a good question. We should Google that afterwards and see if it's still around. Actually, I can Google it while we're doing this because I have the ability to do something called multitasking. And multitasking is something that not everybody can do. So MySpace is definitely still around. I wonder if my old login works.
Wow.
It'd be kind of fucking cool. Like, I wonder if I can get on there and, like, my top friends
are still there. So should we retro it?
No. Oh. There's no coming back for that.
All right.
I wish there was because I really enjoyed that platform.
Tom,
this is your – yeah, that was the one friend.
That was my only friend.
Everyone had in common. Like, Zuckerberg's not even trying to be my friend. No. He's just like, I'm just going to listen to all the shit you're saying.
Yeah.
But so consistency with the message, quality of video. So as you evolve, quality of video or quality of audio is very important.
It is.
Because people don't want to tune into something where you're like walking down the road and the camera's bouncing up and down and up. And like if it looks like a Blair Witch Project, people are probably aren't going to tune in consistently. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in your car all the time, I freaking hate when people are in their car and they're doing videos. I've done them. I'm guilty of this, but that's not the bulk of my video. I see some people, 90% of their videos are in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I saw one person not too long ago that was holding a selfie stick while driving down the road. That's dangerous. Like, you, if something happens and you need both hands on the wheel, that's dangerous. And you're doing a Facebook Live video. Like, please don't do this. You know, get a mount. Mounts are cheap. Do something to put the camera in a stable place. It may be a tripod. Maybe it's a gimbal. I don't know what your budget is. Lean it against a fucking book. Do whatever you have to do. Have your buddy hold it. But video and audio quality, those are two huge things. If you're doing a video and the camera's 15 feet away from you and you can't hear anything, no one's going to listen. If you do a video and the camera is shaky or dark, like I like it when people go into open houses and they flip on the light and the room lights up, and by the time it regains focus, they're walking into the next room. And so everything is – it's almost like a – like you're at a – EDM concert or something. There's like these white flashing lights. You're like, woohoo. But the quality is really what's going to draw people back in. But most of all, it's being genuine and delivering a positive message. Nobody wants to hear your negative shit. If we find something that we want to listen to that's negative, we can find it anywhere. I can literally, let's see.
I know. You open the news, you do the same thing. You always tell me.
Let's see. Hold on. Let me see if I can get this to work. Siri, find something negative on the news. Like, I swear.
Here's some news.
Okay. It's all negative, though. You know, so you see, you sit there and watch all this negative news on here. Like, you can find that. So be different. Deliver a positive message. Figure out your social media. Prioritize the way you should. Don't post more than two or three times a day. The other thing is, you know, a lot of people like to get 5,000 friends. That's not the norm anymore. Facebook wants you to interact with the people that you're friends with on your list. So eliminate the people that have fake accounts, spam accounts, shut down accounts, and narrow your list down, because there's no sense if you're not reaching. You know, if you got 5,000 friends and only 100 of them interact with what you do, you're not reaching 4,900 other people. That's like having wasted space. You know, that's like buying 15 pounds of meat, throwing it in the fridge, knowing damn well you can only eat 8 ounces a day. You know, what's going to happen to the rest of it? Eventually, it's going to rot. It's going to go away. It's not going to do any good. It's going to spoil the rest of everything you have in there, right? So why do it? Doesn't make sense, does it? And I'm sure you got LinkedIn tips, because you're like the LinkedIn king by now.
No, actually, I don't even know how to use it very well. I don't even know how to post or do anything on it. So
you don't know how to post?
No, I don't mess with it.
But anyways, hopefully that's helped some people that are listening currently. You know, social media is the cheapest marketing that's out there. You can literally get thousands of views for 20, 30, 40, 50 bucks and organic views. I mean, I can get a ton of organic views for nothing, free. That's what organic means on Facebook. It, you know, doesn't mean that in the grocery store. But those are things that you can do. Just do it with consistency. Do it with the message that you truly believe in. You know, you can't be the first-time home buyer that specializes in USDA loans with down payment assistance on a VA home loan conventional product. Did that just brain fuck you? Cisa, Nina, Cody. I can keep going. So anyways, hopefully that helps some of you guys out. Hopefully it helps guys and girls market, get your message out there. The fact is, you owe it to yourself. You owe it to your consumer to make sure that your message is being heard. If it's a message that's indeed going to help somebody in their time of need. I don't care if it's for real estate, mortgages, used cars, old cars, new cars, dogs, cats, whatever it may be. If you have a message and it needs to be heard, make sure you get it out there and do what you can to do so. Any last words?
No.
No, I mean like last words, like I'm getting ready to grab my fucking AK. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Well, thanks again for tuning in, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Hey guys, thanks again for tuning in to the AJ Nashville podcast. Let me take a second to thank our sponsors, the people that make it possible for me to be in your ears on a week-to-week basis. Thanks again for tuning in. House on the Rock Home Inspection with Dave Ganatra. You can feel free to reach his team at 615-717-7900. Let me tell you, when it comes to protecting your greatest asset that you ever purchase, Dave's got you covered. Builders fear this man. Feel free to reach out to his team. Once again, 615-717-7900.